I don't know if it's just me, but does this weekend feel like the calm before the storm? I mean, one last little reprieve before we just go full bore into the holiday season. It's going to begin on Thursday with the holiday formerly known as Thanksgiving, now known as the day before Black Friday. Once we pass that, then we're full hedged into preparations for Christmas and all the traditions. So presents will be bought, Christmas trees will go up, parties will be attended, concerts will be given. Before you know it, it's going to be the first of the year, and it's going to go by in a blink, and we won't even notice it. That's why this weekend, before we head off into all that activity, let's step back and take a 10,000-foot look of all that we're going to be experiencing and celebrating over the next few weeks, so that we can be just a little bit more grounded, so that we can remember, why is it that we're celebrating? Why is it that we have all of these activities? And we're going to use, of all things to help us, Psalm 24. Psalm 24, believe it or not, in 10 short verses, will take us from Thanksgiving to Advent to Christmas, and keep us grounded to what all three of those are really about, so we can remember that in all of our hustle and bustle in the days and weeks ahead. Now, let's take a little bit of, we're going to do a little bit differently this week, and that is we're going to go verse by verse through Psalm 24. So if you want to, you can take out your pew Bibles, you can take out your phones, your mobile devices, that's okay by me, right? Go to Psalm 24, or we're going to put it on the screen also, but verse by verse, let's go through Psalm 24. Right? So a little bit of context for you. The psalm was written by David, King David. In fact, David wrote 75 of the 150 psalms that we have in the Bible, which means that not only was he a great warrior king, but he was a prolific hymn writer, because that's what the psalms were to the Israelites. They were their hymns. They were set to music, and they sang them on different occasions. Now, we don't know the exact occasion in which David wrote this psalm, but we do know that it's an entrance psalm. So this would be sung as they were coming in to the temple. More than likely, when David was returning from battle and taking the Ark of the Covenant back to its rightful place in the Holy of Holies. Right? The psalm is broken down into three main sections, and for our purposes, I'm going to label them thus: Creator God, Redeemer God, and Reigning God. All right, let's jump into it then. Psalm 24, verse 1, King David starts this way. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. So he makes a declaration right from the beginning. He says, everything in the world belongs to God. It's his. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. That's just a poetic way of saying, literally it says, and everything that's filled up with it. So everything that's filled up the earth, that all belongs to the Lord. And all those who dwell in it, all that belongs to the Lord. That means that the Lord lays claim to every precious metal, every gem, every natural resource. He lays claim to every tree and every plant life. He lays claim to every animal. He lays claim to you and everything that you have, because it all belongs to the Lord. So even the achievements that you have, the ideas that you have had, all can be traced back. David is declaring this all belongs to the Lord. When it says the Lord, he's talking about Yahweh, the one true God that's talked about in the Old Testament. Right? Well, why? Why does it all belong to him? Verse 2, he answers that question. He says, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. He says it's all his because he created it. There was nothing before God. God, out of nothingness, he created the entire world. Now, it says it a little bit differently, but we probably don't recognize it when it says he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. That's because David, ancient Near East thought, believed that the earth was flat, and then there were pillars that went down to the sea that held it up. So it looks like this. Right? That was their concept of the world. Had the firmament, the ground, pillars going down into the sea, and then somewhere down below that was Sheol, or hell, right? And then above that was heaven, right? But his point is, Everything in the world is the Lord's because He created everything. He created the world and everything in it, the universe and all that is in it. He created all of the animals and He created humanity itself. And so He lays claim to all of that. That kind of sounds like Thanksgiving to me. Isn't Thanksgiving a time in which we praise and thank God for all that He has given to us? It's not the day before Black Friday. We've got to get away from that. And I know it's a secular holiday, but I think it's an important one. And I think it's an excellent one to lead us into Advent and to the celebration of Christmas, to take a day and to remember that everything that you have, everything that I have, comes from God's hand because He created it. That means the clothes that I wear, they're His. The car that I drive, it's His. The house that I live in, it's His. The family He's given me, it's His. You see, I'm going to be here, what, 80, 90, 100 years? And after that, I'm gone. But I leave behind all that He has given to me. So God, in His graciousness, He gave you everything that you have. And He puts it on loan to you. And He says, steward it well. Take care of the earth. Take care of all the possessions that you have. He lays claim to them because He created them, but now He graciously shares them with you. So we take a day. We take a day to say, thanks, God. Thanks for everything in my life. I know it's yours, and yet you've given it to me for a while. Wow, what a privilege. So that's how David starts out. David starts out with the Creator God. Everything belongs to Him. Then he shifts gears a little bit. He goes into the Redeemer God. So this is the middle section of the psalm. And he starts out this way. He starts out with a question. He says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in His holy place? Well, understand, Jerusalem is up on a hill. So when you come to Jerusalem, there's this long, winding road, and you can see up in the distance, there's Jerusalem up there in elevation. So when the Old Testament says, let us go up to Jerusalem, they weren't talking about going north. They were actually talking about rising in elevation. And then on top of the hill, even further up, another elevation, there was another smaller hill, and on top of that, which means overlooking all things, was where the temple was at. And so David says, who can go up to the temple? Who can ascend the hill? Who can go into God's holy place? Who's worthy of doing that? Then he answers his own question. So we look at verse 4. He says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. We'll stop there. Clean hands, when it says that, the word clean actually means innocent. Right? So he who has innocent hands. So I haven't done anything, haven't committed any crimes, haven't committed any sins. And then he says, he who has a pure heart. In the Old Testament, remember, the heart is really the core. It is the depth of who you are, right? So at your deepest level, your most intimate level, that is your heart. So whoever has a pure heart, so whoever has innocent hands, and then where places no one else can see, where the things that only you know about it, down deep in your heart, as long as that heart is pure and was without corruption, that's who may ascend up into the temple. But wait, he goes on from there, and he finishes out the verse. He says, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully? Well, again, it's poetic language. So to lift up your soul meant to put your trust in something, right? So you're lifting up your soul, your essence, your being that God gave you, right? You're lifting it up, which means you're putting your trust in something. He says, who does not lift up his soul to what? To false. That word is always used of false gods or of idols, right? So he who doesn't trust in idols, whatever that idol might be, maybe in David's day it was the god, small g, of the nations around them. Or maybe today, it's the idols of today, and you can think of plenty of those, right? What are the things that you trust? You know, maybe chiefly we trust ourselves, right? So he who does not lift up his soul, does not trust in false, in idols, and doesn't swear deceitfully. The bottom line is, whoever is perfect, go ahead, go up in the temple. But if you've got sin, If you trust in anything besides God, if you don't have innocent hands, if you don't have a pure heart, he says, only those people can ascend the hill. Only they can go into the temple. Well, that knocked all of us out, didn't it? It knocked out all the people that were singing the hymn as well. None of them could go up. Even King David, he couldn't go up and ascend the hill. So what's the deal? He answers. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 5. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. We can't do it. We're not pure of heart. We don't have clean hands. So God blesses us. He's the God of salvation. He is his righteousness, which he bestows upon us. So God blesses his people. He forgives his people. He declares his people to be righteous because he's the God of salvation. And now they can ascend the hill. And that's what he says in the next verse. He says, such is the generations of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. To seek the face of God means to be in the presence of God. So we can't be in the presence of God because of our sin, because we don't have a pure heart. So God purifies our hearts. God forgives us, and now we can be in the presence of God. Sounds like Advent to me. It sounds like Advent. Advent is when we are getting our hearts ready for God's first advent, his first appearing into our world. We're waiting and preparing to celebrate the birth of God's Son. Well, during this season of Advent, these weeks that lead up to Christmas, part of what we do is ask ourselves, why did God have to come? Why did God have to leave his throne in heaven, take on flesh and blood, and become one of us? Well, when his birth was announced, it was said, to save his people from their sin. That's why he came, to save us from our sin. Because we don't have pure hearts. We don't have clean hands. We've trusted in other things besides God. So we need a Savior to come. We need the God of salvation to come into our world. And so during the next few weeks, we prepare to welcome him and the salvation that he brings for us. That's Advent. That's what it's all about. A time to remember that we are sinful human beings, but to remember that we have a redeeming God who, because of Jesus, will declare us righteous. So now the psalmist concludes then with a reigning God. Listen to this. So we go on to verse 8 or verse 7. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. So, we've been forgiven of our sins. We've been declared righteous. Now, open up the gates to the city. Fling wide the doors of the temple so that who can come in? The King. But it's not David. David's writing the song. David is King of Israel. But the King of glory isn't David that's going to come in. Well, who is the king that we're opening up the doors for, that we're opening up the gates to the city? Well, he goes on to tell us in verse 8 through 10. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, Yahweh, who is all-powerful. The Lord, mighty in battle, picturing someone who has defeated the enemy. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Who is the King of glory? God himself. Yahweh, the one true God, the Lord. He is the King of glory who will come and make his presence, have his dwelling there with his people in the temple. God would be among his people. Sounds like Christmas, doesn't it? What do we celebrate on Christmas? We celebrate the birth of the King of Kings. The fact that God would come and dwell among us. That God would take on flesh and blood and be here with us. Perhaps if you've ever been to traditional worship and sang some hymns, you picked up in Psalm 24, there's a pretty famous hymn that was written off of that. Lift up ye heads, ye mighty gates, right? It's a song about this because we're getting ready to usher in the King of Kings. Now, listen to verse 4. The first line of verse 4 says this. It says, Redeemer, come and open wide my heart to thee. Here, Lord, abide. The hymn writer gets it. He understands. So not only do we want God to be present in the temple, we want God to dwell in our hearts. And that's what Christmas is about. We welcome in the King of Kings, and he is the mighty warrior who will go to battle for us because he's going to fight the devil. He's going to defeat sin, death for us on the cross, and he's going to rise victorious on Easter Sunday, and then he dwells. He dwells in us. He becomes part of us. He doesn't just dwell in his temple, but he dwells in your heart. In 10 short verses, King David, by inspiration of God, hundreds of years, thousands of years before any of this would take place, including a secular holiday called Thanksgiving. And yet in those 10 short verses, he takes us from Thanksgiving to Advent to Christmas and grounds us into what those are really all about. It's about a creator God, a redeemer God, and a reigning God. Here's my encouragement for you, because we're all going to get busy. It's going to start this Thursday, right? And there's going to be a full sprint to the end of the year. At least once a week, pull out Psalm 24. Pull out Psalm 24 and read through it slowly, just to regroup, just to reground yourself, to remember, what's all this activity about? 10 short verses, Thanksgiving to Advent to Christmas. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Creator God, we're humbled to be before you, thankful that you have redeemed us, and we pray that you would reign in our hearts eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated at this